Hi, Dr. Machen. It's Wayne Blackman from Wilderness North.
Nice to meet you.
I'm excited to speak with you. What was it like to get the phone call that said, Dr. Julia, we've got something of interest here for you? So that must have been quite a day.
So Grant Zazula, who is the UConn employee who worked on this project with me, he got a call from a gold miner in July of 2016 that they had found this amazing little wolf pup. And within a couple of weeks, I believe, of him getting contacted by the gold miner and getting the pup, he called me. And I was super excited to get the call. I have never worked on a mummy before. I've worked on a lot of canid fossils, but never on a mummy. And so it was really amazing to be able to work on this mummy.
Of course, when you say mummy, we are referring to a special category of these kinds of discoveries. So this is not just bones. This is really the whole show, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, she's got all her skin, all her soft tissues. You know, she's got a little damage to her skin from where the water cannon must have hit her when she came out of sediment. But other than that, she's completely intact. Yeah, when I say mummy, I mean like it's the whole animal. It's just sort of freeze-dried. As opposed to what we normally find, which is mostly just bones, there have been quite a few other mummies that have been found in the Yukon region, although most of them are not nearly as complete as our little wolf pup.
So have you spent some time with her between the discovery and today?
Luckily, I actually got to go out to the Yukon before the pandemic hit. So I was able to get out there and spend a couple of days with her where I was measuring her and we were taking x-rays and sort of just getting an overall view of her. And so I did get to spend a couple of days with her when I was up there.
Tell me how it is that you can date with a certain amount of accuracy the age of 57,000 years.
So that's a great question. So as you know, or at least as it seems that you know, radiocarbon dating is only good up to about 50,000 years. Anything older than that is going to be beyond the bounds of radiocarbon dating. So we did radiocarbon dating on this little wolf pup, and we got an infinite result. So we knew that she was older than 50,000 years. So in order to narrow down her age, we had to actually use a couple of different techniques. One of the techniques that we used to date her, was something called a molecular clock, which is basically using her ancient DNA to try to figure out how long ago she split from her last common ancestor. So using that technique, we got a date range of approximately, I think it was between 56,000 years and 75 or 78,000 years old. So we knew she was between sort of those ranges. And then in order to narrow that down even further, we used a stable isotope analysis. And that is basically looking at the type of oxygen that's in her tissues that she's incorporated from things that she's eaten and water she's drank. And using that oxygen isotope, we narrowed down the time period that she lived in to the end of marine isotope stage 3, which in an interglacial fell between the years of 38,000 years ago and 58,000 years ago. So putting both her isotope data together and her molecular clock data together, we were able to narrow that window down to where the two overlapped, which was somewhere between 56 and 58,000 years ago.
Well, this is quite a remarkable find, isn't it?
Yes, this is really unique.
And what happens next?
That's a great question. What happens next? We're likely going to do a few follow-up studies. So one of the things we want to do with her is to do some micro CT scanning, which is a really high resolution type of CT scanning. So we'll be able to really see her soft tissues in a lot of detail without doing any destructive sampling. And then the other thing that we want to do, which it seems like it's possible to do without destructive analysis, is to sample the back end of her GI tract for parasites. So we might actually be able to do some parasitic analysis on her. Those are sort of the follow-up directions that we've got for this little pup.
So is the mummy still frozen?
She is not frozen. She was frozen for so long that she basically dried out. So if you think about freeze drying food, like fruit or meat, you basically get like a leather, right? Like either a fruit leather or like a jerky. And, you know, not to be crude about it, but that's exactly what she's like. She's basically been freeze dried for so long that she's basically like a solid piece of puff jerky. So she's like hard. And so she's not still frozen. She's just dried.
And how do you know she's a wolf?
Well, her ancient DNA has told us that. So she looks wolf-like. So we assumed that she was some sort of dog. She looks doggy. But, you know, it's hard to tell if she's a wolf or what kind of wolf she is or whatever she is just because she's a puppy. So it's hard to determine that just from her outside appearance. So when we did the ancient DNA analysis on her hair follicles, we found that she was indeed a gray wolf who is related to wolves that were in the Beringia area, so Siberia, Alaska, Canada, in the last ice age.
And really, there's no other find that has ever discovered anything quite like this, is there?
No. So these mummies are relatively rare. In Siberia, they're much more common. And I think that has to do with the way the terrain is in Siberia, as opposed to the Yukon, where there's a lot of rolling hills. So they're much more common in Siberia. They're very uncommon in North America, both in Alaska and Canada. So finding one of these kinds of wolves in that area is in and of itself a special thing. And the fact that she is so complete is the other special thing. There has not been another wolf that's this old, this complete that has ever been found.
So after a lot of these scientific studies are done, what happens to her?
So she is going to be, she's going to basically be held in perpetuity at the Yukon Beringia Interpretive Center. So she's basically one of their acquisitions, and she will be on display for the foreseeable future. And with any luck, after the pandemic is over, she may do a little tour of Canada, including some native lands where Indigenous peoples may have some sort of museum to put her on display as well. So she will remain on display as long as they are able to do so.
And how is it that they selected you among all of the folks that are out there in the academic world to sort of be the lead snoop on this?
Grant, who is the person who works at the Yukon Beringia Interpretive Center, who's the curator of all the specimens there, and I are friends. And so, of course, when you have a friend who has an area of expertise that you need, those are usually the people that you go to first.
Is there a question I should have asked about this that I didn't ask? Is there something else that the public should be aware of about this?
Sure. There's actually two things I'd like to mention. The first is about teamwork and basically just, you know, including the Indigenous Trondekwechin people on this project has been really amazing. The other thing that I want to mention is that these findings are so cool. These mummies are amazing. And as climate is warming, we are going to start finding more of these. But it's really a double-edged sword because it also tells us that our planet is in bad shape and that it's warming faster than we can handle, basically, as humans.
Well, thank you once again for the courtesy of coming to the phone and chatting with us. And we'll be sharing this interview with our readers and listeners to our podcast, Out of Wilderness Noise.